Titus chapter 1, we're beginning with verse 10 this morning. For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers, deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. One of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. For this cause reprove them severely, that they may be sound in the faith, not paying attention to Jewish myths and commandments of men who turn away from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Both their minds and their consciences are defiled. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny Him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to once again study from your word. Thank you that there's so much for us to learn, and I pray that we might take these lessons to our heart, that we would be challenged by them to walk in a manner that is pleasing unto thee, that you would be glorified in and through our lives. And I thank you for this flock of believers. Pray your blessing upon each one, and ask that you would just allow your spirit to speak to the hearts this morning, that we might be engaged in the plan that you have for our own lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, as Paul did with his letter to the pastor Timothy, he also does here to the young pastor Titus as well, and warns us about religious people who really are rebellious unbelievers. They're not really godly men and women. They are rebelling against God. They're seeking their own gain. They're seeking their own directions. They're seeking their own benefit in the things that are done in their presence, the things that they do under the disguise of ministry. Godliness, true godliness, comes from a heart surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And along with that, godliness brings a desire to grow in holiness and righteousness, that we would become more like Christ and less like the world. Unfortunately, there are those out there, and they are many, who wish to be thought of as being well-meaning, but still wish to be commanders of their own life. We don't have a choice in that matter. I mean, well, we do have a choice, but we have to be one or the other. You can either be somebody who has surrendered their life to the Lordship of God, and we're seeking to follow His commandments and obey the things that God does, or we're going our own way, doing what we want to do, no matter how good or righteous it may appear to the outside world. So that is what we are facing. Verse 10 says that there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision. This concept of many and few comes up many times in the scriptures. There are not nearly as many people who are seeking after God as what are showing up at church or other religious activities. There is many who are seeking their own selves. It's a common misconception that basically man is good. That's wrong. The scriptures are very clear about us that we are born in sin and we are born in rebellion against God. So man is basically wicked, and only a movement of God causes them to become a saint, a person who is after God's own heart. the natural state of man is in opposition to God. So Paul clearly states here again that concept. There are many rebellious men. There's bunches of them out there. It takes discernment. It takes understanding of the Word of God. It takes careful observation and consideration for us to recognize who's real and genuine and who's putting up a front. A truly righteous man must prove himself to be righteous by his consistent godly behavior. All others will prove that they really have a different motive than glorifying God. They want to glorify themselves. They want to gain for themselves. Then Paul calls them empty talkers. I remember a long time ago, a Christian comedian was talking about this subject, about empty talkers. And he used the example of one of those talk shows where the guy goes around and says, "Hey, what's your opinion about this? What do you think about that? And what how do you feel about that?" And that's exactly the way most people seem to think that that's what God is interested in, is that we could ask everybody's opinion in this room and come up with the right answer. But that's not true at all. God has the answer already. God has already written down the answers. And the world is filled with men and women who have an opinion. And it's certainly okay to have an opinion. I don't want you to think that. But having an opinion doesn't make it valid or doesn't make it right. There's a whole lot of people that are expressing things that are not true. The majority is in opposition to God. So guess what you think the majority opinion to be? Opposition to God. So when you listen to the majority and say, well, everybody's thinking this, then maybe, it could be right, but maybe you should start thinking, wonder why everybody's agreeing with that position. Is that godly? Is that what God is saying? There are just a whole lot of people who are in opposition to God, and their statements are without truth or substance. And so we are admonished time and again in the Scriptures to be careful, to test the spirits, to see if what is being said is right. And that is our task daily, is to distinguish between those who are truly godly and those who are just empty talkers. Because those empty talkers are also a part of the enemy's army, and they are deceivers. The natural state, again, the natural state of man is opposition to God. Satan is a great deceiver, so you would expect that those who expound from a worldly point of view are spreading lies or half-truths, seeking to blind men to the ways of God. This is a battle. There's nothing unfair in this battle as far as the enemy is concerned. If you want to believe that God said you are not to eat of the fruit or even touch it, then that's exactly what Satan wants you to believe, is that you are to not only just do God's word, but go beyond that and be nicer than Jesus. Jesus called out religious people all the time, said, "You guys are just empty wells. You're whitewashed tombs. You have no value. And in fact, you make people unclean." So there are deceivers out there, and there's a bunch of them out there that are trying to get you directed in the wrong way. If you are a believer, they're trying to keep you from fulfilling your ministry by confusing you about what is right and what is wrong. And then he says that there are those who, especially who are of the circumcision. And so the Jewish people were given all these great privileges from God. The Word of God, prophets, kings, Moses, all kinds of mighty individuals who were from the Jewish people, but they largely rejected Jesus. And to this day, that's still true. There are movements where people are coming to know Christ in the Jewish faith, but there's still a lot of them who are opposing this Messiah, that they don't believe in. And so there's still this considerable force of people opposing Jesus, but unfortunately today there's a whole lot of other voices too. There's this group called Islam, there's Buddhists, there's New Age people, there's atheism, and unfortunately many who profess science. Science is not really the answer if it's not good science and it's not godly science. God's still in charge. Yes, the Bible may not be a science textbook, but God is the one who invented all these things and these rules and the laws of science and nature and everything else you want to call it. God is in charge. But all these voices are out there trying to take us away from God. You know, back in the 18th century, there was an individual who decided that God wasn't right. And so he wrote a book called The Origin of Species. His name's Darwin. You ever hear of evolution? Evolution's absolutely not true. There's absolutely no proof for evolution. Nothing. What is true and what we discover when we look at fossil records or whatever you want to talk about in those sense, carbon dating, is that the world suddenly exploded with animals and other stuff. And they essentially haven't changed too much. Somebody says, well, I used to have a Great Dane. And then I got a Chihuahua. Well, those are really different. Well, yeah, they're really different because man bred them so that they became like that. They didn't evolve in that condition. It took guided force to make them like they are. I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of a pig that 75 years ago, but boy, they look different than pigs do nowadays. You know why? Because people decided they wanted less fat on their pigs and they wanted more meat. And so they bred them that way. And so this whole concept of science, evolution, those types of things, they're false. They are deceivers trying to draw people away from faith. Because if God didn't create the heavens and the earth, did not create all the animals and such like that, then there's a question mark about it. Well, what did God do? Did he do any of this other stuff? And so that's why evolution is so important to us as believers, not to believe that junk. It's not true. It simply is not true. All right, verse 11 then. Who must be silenced because they're upsetting whole families, teaching things that they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. So those that... One of our tasks as believers, as it says in verse 9, is that we are to be able to refute those who contradict. And this goes right along with it. Those who are teaching untruths need to be recognized and, as best we can, silence them. So a major task that faces the church is to identify false teachers and false teaching and stand against those deceptions. Flat out tell people that, hey, wait a minute, that person is not telling us biblical truth. Satan's main tactic has always been to blend some truth with lies so that unbelieving man will not see the truth and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. The secondary part of that is that he tries to blind us as believers to the truth so that we will take the wrong paths and not be effective in our ministries. So we need to recognize falsehoods. We need to silence falsehoods. We need to speak out against that because it's upsetting whole families. The unfortunate result of the deception that is that it carries over into the church. And when the church does not really focus and really keep their thought as being sound doctrine, that's what they got to major on, sound doctrine, then the church goes astray. So our task as believers, as we've been studying here in 1st and 2nd Timothy and now Titus, one of our tasks is to really educate the members about the Word of God. so that churchgoers can understand what is truth and what is false. Because we have a lot of churchgoers who believe these false teachings, and it's unsettling to the faith. So we need to just pound on sound doctrine. It's important that we interpret Scripture correctly, that we apply it correctly to people's lives, that if God says it is so, then it is so, and we're not taking a contrary position. We're not going to compromise on that position. For the most part, well, for all the part, I guess, those who are not believers and are teaching falsehoods and such like that, it's for their own gain. It's for their sordid gain, as it says here in verse 11. It's basically the concept, what's in it for me? What am I going to gain if I do this or that? I want people to think I'm a nice guy. I want people to give me money. I want people to like me. All those different concepts can be included in that, but these are false teachers. Verse 12. One of themselves, a prophet of their own, says, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. For this cause, reprove them severely, that they may be sound in the faith. So we know that Titus was ministering in the area of Crete. So this is, just backs that up in verse 12 there. But it is interesting that so quickly Paul agrees with this Cretan prophet, that Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. He says this testimony is true. Guess what? This testimony is true about all people. Man is wicked throughout. They are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. They want something for nothing. They want to take from somebody else. They want to do their own thing. They're willing to lie to you to get whatever they want. So it's not just Cretans that Paul is really condemning here. It's even though this testimony is true, it is the fact that the general makeup of unbelievers is just this. We want what we want. We want to have what others have. And we may want more than what others have. And we don't mind taking advantage of the weak so we can get what we want. And the wicked man is trying to deceive you and trying to take advantage of you. That's the way it is. It's always been that way. Instead, he says that we need to severely reprove them who are teaching these things and are going that direction. And instead, we are to make them be sound in the faith. That sound familiar? The goal of the true church is to know God, to know God's commands, and to live God's commands. That's being sound in the faith. That comes from understanding sound doctrine. So again, we just come back to that concept of we need to know what the Word of God says. We need to follow what the Word of God says. We need to teach what the Word of God says. Verse 14, not paying attention to Jewish myths and commandments of men who turn away from the truth. So we need to not pay attention to misdirection from whatever source it is, whether it could be Buddha or Islam or Jewish and whatever, but don't listen to those things that are false doctrine, but are being encouraged to turn away from the truth. Again, That's going to be the main deception that the world is going to try to do. And so we need people who are not turning away from the truth, but turning to the truth and adhering to it. We need to know the truth of God. That means sound doctrine. What was being taught by the prophets, what Jesus taught, what the apostles taught us. You're just going to hammer on that one concept of sound doctrine. We've got to have sound doctrine. We got to know what the truth is and teach that truth, sound doctrine. Verse 15. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their minds and their consciences are defiled. So, pure also could be translated as sound. To those who are sound and solid, then they understand sound and solid principles. But to the unbeliever, nothing is pure. If you don't know the truth, you can't follow the truth, and you can't please God. And your opinion doesn't matter, as I said earlier this morning. Doesn't matter. You need to know the truth. But if you are an unbeliever, then you can't possibly know the truth because you haven't surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, because your mind is defiled. Your mind is defiled. That means that you don't think like God. Sometimes it's hard for us, if you've been a Christian for quite a while, sometimes it's pretty hard for you to comprehend some of the stupidness that goes on in society today. I struggle with it quite frequently, but then I got to remember, wait a minute, I'm thinking from God's perspective. But man's perspective isn't considering God at all. So it's okay to do these things or that thing, because their mind is defiled. They don't think like God. Their thoughts are not godly. They can't arrive at a point in their thought process that is the truth. Their mind is damaged as concerned of the things of God. And we need to recognize that. We need to be understanding about it when we're sharing the gospel with others, but also we need to understand that their mind is damaged, so that when they are talking and giving their opinion, we can judge it against Scripture and not follow after their heresies. Their conscience is also defiled. Why do sometimes, you know, it's hard for us to understand why people are doing what they're doing. Well, they don't think they're wrong. It's okay to do those things because they don't understand what's right and wrong. So their behavior is trying to benefit themselves, and that's what's right in their eyes. They don't have the boundaries of what is truly right and what is truly wrong. And so they can excuse their sinful behavior. We were studying in 1 Samuel this morning in Bible study, and Saul got caught in his sin, and Saul says, well, the people made me do it. He didn't have any concept of right and wrong, but he had an understanding that I'm not going to get blamed for this. I'm going to blame somebody else. And, you know, that's exactly what wicked men will do, is blame somebody else for their wickedness. Verse 16. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good work. So they profess to know God. There's all kinds of people that talk about God and have concepts about who God should be and how God acts and things like that. But there's a difference between professing to know God and knowing God. He says here that by their deeds they deny him. So here, that's one of our main tools that we have to determine the individual's true state of salvation, is by how they act consistently. Their deeds say that they are out for themselves. Their deeds say that they are only concerned with them, that they're trying to take advantage. Okay, so first of all, I want to say that we're not saved because we do good things. All right? It's not a checklist where we put a column on the piece of paper that says pros over here and cons over there, and if I got more pros than cons, I'm going to be saved. Nope, that's not how it works. We're not saved by our actions. God enters our hearts through faith in Jesus Christ. And when we have that faith, then that faith allows us to understand God and to consistently live in obedience to God. That's what works is all about. My faith causes me to do the good works that I do. Not my faith gives me salvation. Those who consistently live for God have to know God. But those who consistently live contrary to God show their lack of faith, show that they are not a child of God. And because they're not a child of God, they're detestable and disobedient. Even their good works have some underlying wickedness to it. And the worst part of it is that they are worthless. They are worthless for any good deeds. See, God created man to live his life to glorify God. When we live our lives to take care of ourselves, when we live contrary to the commandments of God, then we fail to fulfill our purpose, and we are worthless. I've got screwdrivers at home that have had the tips broken off of them. Guess what? They're worthless. They won't unscrew a screw. That's what they call it, a screwdriver, see? And if it can't unscrew a screw, then it's worthless. So if they call you a child of God, but you're living for yourself, you're worthless. You're not of value to God in fulfilling his purpose, which is to be glorified. You're worthless for any good deed. And I want that's the thing. When we talk about good deeds, we need to be able to distinguish the fact that what man says is good is not necessarily what God calls as good. Good deeds accomplished for the wrong reasons are not good deeds. Good deeds, when accomplished, glorify God. It's that simple. It's not any more complex than that. The church needs to be aware that the world is standing in active opposition to God, and therefore standing in active opposition to the church. There are wicked men out there who wish to hinder and stop all the progress of the church. We're very fortunate in our country to date that we still are able to worship as freely as we are. It's not always going to be that way, because the world is out there in opposition to God. And there are wicked men out there who want to hinder and stop the progress of the church right now. Therefore, church, we must be alert to the efforts of these wicked men. We need to be diligent to know what sound doctrine is, and then we need to stand firm on the commandments of God and be obedient to God. That's your challenge for this week. May God help your efforts. Let's pray. Almighty Father, you are a great and wonderful God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being God. Help us to understand that we are in this battle. Help us to fight the battle, to recognize falsehood, and to cling to what is good, that we might give you all the praise and the honor and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen.